Good evening. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, and we are studying the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter and step is Bill's story, and our speaker tonight is Cody. Thank you, Cody, and I'll toss it over to you.
Yo, thank you so much, Jim. Thank you, Rachel, for inviting me. I'm a compulsive overeater and a carbohydrate addict. My name is Cody Smith. I'm abstinent today by the grace and mercy of a loving God. It's a miracle, no doubt it's a miracle. I'm still trying to figure out what happened. I guess I get to talk to y'all about it a little bit, and maybe I'll figure something out. I was thinking a little while ago, I guess you could say I was meditating, which means I was sitting in the sauna thinking, And I don't know. That thing presses some thoughts out of me. I was thinking that the 10th step is my favorite, because I get it wrong every day, And man, am I grateful for that 10th step, Because I'm the kind of guy, I won't raise my hand and ask a question if I don't understand something, I'll just like smile and nod. Like I get it, because I'm way too concerned about what other people think of me, I don't want to be the guy with the questions, because either I'm ignorant or I'm holding things up, like one way or another, I'm pissing people off or looking bad in their eyes, so I don't ask questions, And being right is really important to me. So, I mean, I'm so right it hurts, And I'll be right. I will be, often wrong, never in doubt. That's my motto. And so thank God for the 10th step, right? That allows me to start over. It allows me to say, maybe that's not the best home group for me. Or it allows me to say, maybe that's not the right sponsor for me. Or it allows me to say, maybe that food should not have been on my food plan. Or it allows me to say, what I said today at that meeting before the person got up and walked out, it's not that what I said wasn't correct or important to say, but my tone was off, there was something wrong with my tone. And maybe you should get that gal's number and call her and ask for forgiveness and let her know that you didn't mean to upset her, well, and I'm not theorizing, like that happened today, today. And so I'm just really glad about that 10th step. That allows me, it just gives me permission to be wrong, which is great, because I'm just wrong all the time. And it also gives me, the beautiful thing is like about OA, we can pick what meetings we go to, we can pick, it says, if you've decided you want what we have, I could pick my we. I could be like, oh, I want what you have. I want what you have. What do? I can ask you what you do and I can do it. It says, if you've decided you want what we have and you're willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps, I've had different home groups. I've had different sponsors. I've changed, let's see. Oh, my current abstinence date, because that's probably important, right? September 11th, 2020. So about 3.5 years, by the grace of pure grace, pure grace. I think it's funny when people still believe in karma, Because the 12-step program is like that's it's like it's this thing blows. Like, look, if we got what we deserved, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way. If I, well, hey, look, I can't. You're probably much better people than me. You're probably not like selfish and self-centered to the extreme. You probably don't like take advantage of people the way I do. You probably, I mean, listen. If I got what I deserved, you know, if I got what I deserved, I certainly would not be here. You know, I learned that mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting something that you don't deserve. You know, I should be dead. I'm 49. I was 30, and the doctor, you know, took my weight and my blood pressure and looked at my metabolics, and he said, these aren't good numbers for a young man. He said, these aren't good numbers for an old man. You know, he was willing to tell me that I was gonna die, you know, and he put me on some, you know, blood pressure medicine and told me I needed to make some lifestyle changes. And I don't know. I didn't. I mean, I tried, you know. I tried to go do some running, you know. I did a lot of running in a lot of different ways, but I don't know where I was going. I should probably just tell you my story. When I really hit bottom, it was back in January. Back well, the bottom of my bottom, when I, you know, when like bottom was up there, I had to reach up and touch it, right? And I got sober, you know, first. I had to get sober first. You know, as my buddy Harlan says, that was the rope closest to my neck, you know? And I had to deal with that one first. And about 10 months later, I got abstinent. That was back in October of 2011, I got abstinent for the first time. And oh, it was fantastic. I lost, you know, 60, 70 pounds, 60 pounds, 60 something. I don't know what my top weight was, you know, when today's man, which I bought my pants there because they offered free alterations. I don't know if this has anything to do with Bill's story or not. He's got a lot of progression in his story. You know, he's like, my friends jumped. Would I jump? No way. I'm not that weak. You know, and a little bit later, he's like, maybe I'll jump, you know. And a little bit later, he's like, I better put a mattress down because I'm gonna freaking jump, you know. And so I could really identify with like, suicides for the week. Huh, suicide doesn't look like a bad idea. Huh, I should probably kill myself because it is definitely not going to get better. You know, I can identify with all that stuff. And then I met a lady. Her name was Cindy. I guess you could call her like she was like my OA Ebby, you know, who sat there. What Ebby said, simply but smilingly, he said, I got religion. You know, he wasn't there to sell anything. He was just like, hey, you know, it doesn't have to be that bad. He said, you don't have to feel this way anymore, you know. And that's what Cindy used to say. I was sober and obese, you know, and scared and angry, and she was sober 20 years and abstinent 10, and she taught, no, she actually more. She was sober 30 years and abstinent 20, because I think she just celebrated, like, I don't know, she's coming up on 50 years or something. I don't do math. Don't ask me about math, okay? But she used to always talk about how miserable the first 10 years of her sobriety was because she was allergic to the constituent ingredients of alcohol pre-fermentation. You know, she was allergic to grains and sugar before they were fermented. And I'd always get really pissed off that Don't share about that crap in my AA meeting. I'm here to get sober, you know? That and when people would share about how they lost a pet, you know? It's like, I don't want to hear about that crap. I just want to stay sober today, you know? I was like grumpy and not compassionate and intolerant. And I learned that I learned there's a spiritual axiom that anytime I am disturbed, it's because there is something wrong with me, you know? And probably the third time I griped to my sponsor about this woman talking about grains and sugar in my meeting, he said, "You know, that bothers you an awful lot, Cody. You might want to take a look at that, you know?" And so I did, and later that week began my journey in the 12-step food program. And about 2 weeks before my 5-year anniversary, I left, you know. I just left program. It was like I was living in Chicago at the time. There was like one meeting a week on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock at Our Lady of, I don't even remember what the place was called, but my men's meeting that were like all the guys, you know, my men's AA meeting was the same night. All the guys would go out and fellowship beforehand, and I'm like sitting at Our Lady of Sacred Hearts, you know, with like five little old me and like five little old ladies, and all the guys are over there, and I'm like thin and riding a motorcycle around Chicago, and you know, like, what am I doing here? They're over there, and you know, and I left, and man, I still remember that place. I was sitting on Wells Street in Chicago. I still remember eating corn chips and guacamole, you know, and that was my first non-abstinent, you know, non-written down, non-committed meal that I had eaten in just about 5 years. And guess what? Nothing happened, which is the worst possible thing that could happen. Nothing happened, you know. That night did not end in pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, you know. About 4 years later, it would, you know, it was like a 4-year long, slow, painfully educational relapse, you know, and, so many wonderful lessons. All of us felt at times that we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, were inevitably followed by still worse relapse, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. You know, like, man, that is my story. And, well, 10-step stuff, right? And when we're wrong, we can go, we can, like, we get to start over, you know? We get to go back and I love this. How's that working out for you statement, you know? Like, how's simply but smilingly. See, I gotta be real careful with how I say that. How is that working out for you? You know, like, 'cause I have a problem with tone. I might have mentioned that, you know. I can, it's like I want to be right, so I sound self-righteous, and it like separate, it's like it's not good, you know. It's something that apparently I still get something out of it, because I'm not willing to admit that like I'm powerless over it. I'm not willing to admit that like I have an allergy to it. I want to think that like maybe if I weigh it and measure it, maybe like and maybe situationally it's helpful, you know. Maybe sometimes I actually get through to somebody with that tone, you know, and they tell me I do, which is, you know, it's like, oh, it's such a problem. I'm a mess, you know. But I will tell you that man, so yeah, back September, I hit this horrible bottom. I hit this horrible bottom. I was in the food and I was still sober, barely, you know. And I met this guy, and And he said, you know, he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing, Cody? And I told him what I was doing. You know, I'm going to meetings, you know, I'm doing all this service work. I'm sponsoring people, you know. And he said, maybe you're one of the rarelys. And I was like, what are you talking about? He says, well, you know, it says rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And you're telling me that you're thoroughly following our path and you're failing, you know. Maybe you're one of the rarelys. And then he started asking me about what I knew about their path, you know. And I'll tell you what, I didn't have a lot of answers. I thought I knew a lot about what was going on in the big book. You know, it's like we can start. I love how you read that thing at the beginning of this meeting that says, you know, any conception, like no matter how inadequate, is sufficient to make a beginning. You know, how long can a beginning last? How long can your conception be adequate, be inadequate? You know, like you can begin with an inadequate conception, but how far will an inadequate conception get you? You know? Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And he started asking me what I knew about their path. And you know what's crazy is Bill Wilson is well documented. Bill Wilson says, I didn't write the big book. You know, he says, I sat down with nothing to write and my pen just started moving, you know. So who wrote the big book? Like, it's crazy. I mean, he will be the first one to tell you that he didn't write it. He sat down and his pen started moving. So who wrote it? You know? And you know, my experience is any conception, no matter how inadequate, is good enough to make a beginning, you know. But over time, you know what's weird? It says God as we understood him. I thought that meant like God as I made him up to be, you know, but I don't think that's what it means at all, you know, because I don't think God changes, you know. I think my conception of God changes. I don't think God changes. I think my understanding of God has changed, you know. It's the same God, you know, like God, it's the same God that used Bill Wilson as a vessel, you know. It's the same God I had a very inadequate conception of, you know, 13 years ago when I started on this deal. I just have to continue to be willing to ask myself that question, you know, how's that working out for you? You know, how's that working out for you? Are you happy? You know, it's like, are you?
2 minutes.
Thank you. So it's just to the extent that we do as he would have us do, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? I mean, do you have calamity? I mean, like the flat tire calamity, like the hot water heater calamity, like the cancer calamity, like, you know, your teenager expelled from school calamity, you know, I mean, there's different calamities. I mean, there's levels, you know, and, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Alcoholics Anonymous was almost called the James Club, you know. For the first 5 years of AA, there was no big book. I mean, if you ask Dr. Bob, you know, hey, Dr. Bob, what do you think about this? I don't know. What does it say in the good book? You know, I mean, these guys, they knew who their God was. They didn't make me believe in their God to join, you know. But if you go read their third tradition, when they're like trying to decide who's allowed in and who's allowed out, After they're deliberating whether or not certain people qualify to be in, Dr. Bob speaks up and he says, "What would the master do? What would the master do?" And because they knew who the master was and what the master would do, they let me in. They let me in. And so I don't know if the master was good enough for them. I figure I should stop rejecting the master. And any conception, no matter how inadequate, is good enough to make a beginning. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Cody. Appreciate your time and sharing. We will now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and step being studied this week. We ask that you accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions or *9 if you're on the phone. I will call the raised hands in order, and then the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. Would the timekeeper please set a timer for 3 minutes and announce when time's up? And if the speaker is asked a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. All right, so we will go. Give me 1 moment here. Lisa, you're up first.
Thank you. Lisa, a compulsive overeater, 100 pounder multiple times because I kept leaving the rooms. And now I abstain from leaving. I am not leaving. Cody, I feel like we're stalking each other. I feel like I just heard you and I'm never eating another apple the same way again. That's an old Cody share. I love the grace and mercy thing. Oh, those are wonderful. And the pet thing. Remember how you said, "Oh, I don't believe in karma"? Well, let me tell you, I didn't understand that whole pet thing either. People would talk about, their pet died and be like, it's a pet, until I got a pet. So there's karma right there. Okay. I just want to say I love hearing you. You always tell all your yucky stuff. You're always real open about your yucky stuff, which is great, which I think is, whoops, there's my picture, which is what? Which is humility, which is, being humble. And then I just feel like I want to ask you, you've had relapse, I don't know, I want to say like 3, 4 times, I don't know. What brings you back? $64,000 question for all of us. Why do you come back?
Suffering.
Yeah, but you're suffering for a long time. Like, what is there, like a straw that breaks the camel's back in your opinion?
I mean, I don't know. I guess they talk about the book talks about the 12 and 12 talks about assets becoming liabilities and liabilities becoming assets. I'm vain. I'm vain. I care how I look. I mean, what, like, I loved having lost, the 60 plus pounds. I loved wearing size 32, 33 pants. I love wearing, medium large shirts. I loved weighing less than I did when I was in eighth grade, at 45 years old, and being down at 180 pounds. And when, towards the tail end of that 4-year relapse, I was up back up to like 210, and none of the clothes that were in my closet that were fitting me for 10 years that I liked, they were starting to not fit me anymore, and I was miserable. I don't know, maybe my vanity has something to do with it. I don't know. I have to say suffering and grace. Grace, grace. I think the abstinence is part of the sixth step, for me, because I got sober. I turned my will and my life over to the care of God, and it's a lifetime of removing things that block me from God, and the food is one, and I could go through a long list of other things. Most recently, nicotine was one that blocked, and it's like I don't want to give up the food, I don't want to give up the nicotine, but when you When you turn your life over, that's why it says we thought well before taking this step, making sure that we were ready, because you don't know what's coming. I don't know what's coming. You know, it's going to be something else a little bit longer down the road that it's like, hey, dude, you turned it up. You turned your life over. It's mine now. I'm going to do with it what I want. You know, that victory over your difficulties will bear witness to others of my power, my love, and my way of life, because your power, your love, and your way of life ain't helping anybody.
How's that working for you? All right. Thanks, Cody.
All right, thank you both. And Meredith, you can share next.
Hey everybody, Meredith, B, recovered compulsive reader in Nashville. Dang, Cody, that was a lot. That's a lot to think about. I have never heard things put that way. Like, you know, I always kind of stopped at willingness, well, being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I never thought past that, really. That's cool. Then what? You know? And then, God, I'm so right, it hurts. Ouch. I mean, yes. I don't know. I was talking about this recently about my fourth step. I had tried over a decade. Well, I can't even say that I tried over a decade. I was in program for over a decade before I got recovery and before I got abstinent, because for the life of me, I could not see how I was wrong in anything. I was just so vested in pointing out the other guys, you know, but you don't know what they did to me thing. It's just so just so radical, the turnaround that, and okay, you said something else. Oh, well, just about I wonder where did you get that information about Bill? Is that in Language of the Heart where he says that he didn't write the big book? Do you know where that came from?
I'm gonna guess that you'll definitely read that in Bill's book, which is called Pass It On.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, all right. I'm assuming someone's keeping time. It feels like I'm talking a lot here or pausing a lot, but
That's time.
yeah, then I'll pass. Thank you, Cody.
Thanks, Meredith. Thanks, Cody. And we'll go to Kimberly.
Hey there, I'm Kimberly. I'm a recovered bulimic and anorexic. And Cody, I'm also from Atlanta. So you have Atlanta on your screen. So I'm north of the city. So anyway, thank you very much for your share. And I love the realness and just the authenticity, excuse me, I can't get that word out, of it, just the rawness and the realness of it. And you know, sometimes I get frustrated with program because, you know, people qualify and they show these beautiful pictures of these before and afters and their life is rainbows and butterflies. I'm like, hi, I'm not having that experience. And you know, and so I'm having a tremendous amount of freedom and peace, but that's just not my experience. And I too am so grateful, and I'm so glad that you said kind of like a do-over. I feel like I need a do-over sometimes every minute. And if it's the hardest thing in recovery for me is relationships, and is how to show up in the world and not be an ass, and how to show up in the world and have healthy relationships. I'm either too dependent or I write you off. And it's like, where is that middle ground? And this is all of the stuff that I used alcohol, drugs, food, everything over, because I just don't know how to be in this world sometimes. It's just foreign and it feels weird. And we are in a tremendous amount of transition. We're actually in a hotel right now while our house is showing, and we're going to be moving, and my son's and his girlfriend's, we're here in a hotel. And, you know, I was driving home from the dog park with my daughter and we were hysterically laughing. And I'm like, this is recovery. You know, the fact that I can laugh with her and the fact that I'm present with her, that to me is recovery. Because back in August, you know, I wasn't doing any of that. I was high on drugs and I was not eating and I was falling all over the place because I had no nutrition in me. And I was hiding in my bedroom for a year. And I mean, I would come out and go to work and do what I needed to do. But like, none of this interaction was happening. The fact that we're at this hotel and I texted my friend like a good OA, or I have all my Tupperware and I have all my food packed and, you know, it's in the refrigerator. And the fact that I'm just alive and out in this world, it's a miracle. It is a miracle from God, and it brings me to tears constantly. And, you know, I could fall in a ditch tomorrow, but I'll take what I got today. Thanks.
Thanks, Kimberly. And Jill, you're up next.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jill, compulsive eater. Cody, I found myself talking at my computer while I was listening to you. Just like, oh, yeah, yeah, and that. And just talking back, like having a conversation with you that nobody else could hear. But what I heard from your share was a lot of humility. And maybe you don't think you've got that, but you've got that. So however it is, whatever your personality style is, you're still getting the message in there. I just wanted you to know that. And the part that stood out for me is when you were talking about you're in this church and you're with the old ladies and like the cool folks are over there. And the whole, I got this, right? Like, I can't tell you how many times I felt like that, where I got this. I got it. I can be over there. I lost weight. I don't really have a problem. I'm not like all of you. Everything's fine. And then, oh my God, just get slammed over and over and over. And it's like, yeah, I need to be in this little church with all y'all, because this is it. Like, this is it for me. I just thought that was such an important message. Like, I'm always looking out there for where I want to be instead of what's happening right here, right now, being in this moment, which to me is what I think, I might be wrong, but this is what I think Bill and spiritual awakening and spiritual experience, I think this is what he's talking about. It's like you're being present, you're feeling all of that. Anyway, I'd love to hear from the rest of you, so I'm going to pass. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Loved it.
Thank you, Jill. And we will now stop the recording for unrecorded questions or shares with the Zoom host, please.